Hello, and thank you all for joining us for this conference call about the applications for the Leading Age Innovations Fund. My name is Lauren Sham, and I'm the Vice President of Communications here at Leading Age. We are very grateful to the New Cortland Foundation for its partnership in catalyzing innovation amongst the Leading Age members. In a few minutes, Alicia Sanders from Leading Age's Center for Housing Plus Services will discuss components of a good application. Then we will take your questions. To ask a question, please press star 2 on your phone to enter the question queue. You'll hear a notification when your line is opened, and then you can ask your question. We'll try our best to answer as many questions as possible in our allotted time. If we don't get to your question, or if you have subsequent questions, you may submit them via email to innovations@leadingage.org. We are recording this phone call, and we'll make the recording available online at www.leadingage.org/innovations. Now, let me welcome Alicia Sanders. Thank you, Alicia.
Thanks, Lauren. Hi, we're really happy that we have so many people interested in this grant round. So we want to just go over a few things with you about the proposal and a few tips on submitting a good proposal, and then spend probably the bulk of our time answering questions you may have about the application or the process. So as Lauren said, we're really happy to launch this second round of grants from the Leading Age Fund. Again, this year, we are seeking proposals that offer promising strategies for linking health and supportive services with affordable congregate housing settings that will help the residents meet their needs and age safely in their home and in their community. And also to echo Lauren, we're happy that the New Cortland Foundation is partnering with us again this year, and they've generously increased their match to the fund to $100,000. This is going to allow us to double the amount of awards we are able to give this year. We'll be able to give out 8 awards for a maximum of $25,000 each. So I want to highlight just a few things for you about the process and the proposals. The submission deadline is July 19th, so just need to make sure that you get your application in by the end of that day. You must submit the application online through the myleadingage.org portal. So make sure you have a My Leading Age account. And to be safe, you probably want to verify that you have that account and you can access the application in advance of the deadline. And if you have any problems with that, you can just contact us here and we'll help you work through that. You must be a Leading Age provider member to submit an application. Non-members can be partners in the proposal, but the primary applicant must be a Leading Age member, and the member has to play a significant role in the project. A few other eligibility type topics. Eligible projects must focus on low-income elderly, and they must take place in independent congregate senior housing settings. So applicants or partners in the project can be providers of other residential services or settings, but the project itself needs to take place in a non-licensed congregate setting. So for example, a couple of our awardees last year, one was an adult day program that partnered with an affordable housing, a group of affordable housing communities in their area, and another awardee was a CCRC that has an affordable housing property on their campus. So just to show you that, you know, the providers and involved in the application can be from a range of settings or services. So within this setting, proposed projects can address services in any area or delivered through any mechanism. We want to consider innovation in broad terms. So a project could be innovative in a number of ways, such as the type of partnership, the type of service, the delivery mechanism, addressing a target of population or need in the category. So we're not putting any confines upon what the actual project can be. What we're looking for is something that will help advance the field with respect to this linkage between affordable senior housing settings and services. What we are not looking to do is fund business as usual and ongoing operations. So this doesn't necessarily mean you have to introduce a whole new program, But if you are proposing something around an existing program, we would expect to see an enhancement or an elevation of that program in some regards. But of course, you can also introduce an entirely new program as well. Finally, I want to just touch on a little bit of advice on writing a competitive application. So first, I want to make it clear that we can't tell you if your idea is competitive. That will be up for you all to determine whether it's worthy to go forward. But what we can give you is a little bit of advice upon writing a competitive application. And the main point is to tell you to be really clear and complete about what it is you're proposing. What is the intervention? How are you going to implement? What do you hope to achieve? We need to be able to see not only that you have a good idea, but you have a plan for how you're going to implement the idea, and that your organization or your group of partners has the capacity to do that. So keep in mind that we are only able to judge a proposal from the words that are on the page. We don't know your organization, your partners, your setup, so we can only go on what you tell us. So you have to make sure that the selection committee is able to clearly understand what you are proposing. And we would suggest having some outside individuals read your application to see if it's understandable to them. I know from experience, I write a lot of grants myself, and sometimes what you're thinking in your head is not necessarily conveyed on the paper. So it's helpful to have someone else review your documents and make sure you're saying everything that you want to say. So I think that's the quick overview of the proposal. We tried not to put a lot of restrictions and qualifications on this to make this a relatively simple process for you. But we are open now to answering anyone's questions about the proposal, the application, the process, and clarifying what we can for you.
Terrific. I see some questions already in the queue, so why don't we just get started with that right now. As a reminder to everyone, if you want to get into the question queue, please press *2 on your phone, and you will hear when your line is open so you can ask your question.
The next question is from
Charlotte Potter.
Your line is now open.
Yes, we are one of the awardees from last year. We are the CCRC that you spoke of, and I'm wondering, may we also put in an application to extend our grant this year?
Charlotte, I think you could put in an application if you are enhancing your project in some regard, but not necessarily just to extend what you are already doing.
Okay, we are expanding what we started, and it's growing, so it would fit in that criteria as far as the expansion.
Okay.
And the additional implementation of other medical and wellness services.
Okay. You'll just need to make it clear for us what the enhancement and expansion is.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from
Chandler Hall.
Your line is now open.
Hi, I wanted to ask a question about the criteria about it, the project being on site of the low-income housing. Because one of our ideas was to have a combination of services at the HUD housing, which is down the street from our campus and where we are, because of the ideas around physical health and fitness, some of the actual equipment, which is you couldn't put into the HUD housing because of the restraints and of the space and the cost. If we provided transportation so it was not a barrier to the residents in doing things in both campuses, would that put us outside of the criteria?
No, that would be fine because your focus is on serving those residents in the low-income housing setting. So, yeah, that would be perfectly acceptable.
All right, thank you.
Sure.
The next question is from
Julie.
Your line is now open.
Hi, I have have a question about the eligible activities and the non-licensed targeted housing setting. We have a potential partner with a Class F license. Does that make them an eligible partner? And I'm wondering, doesn't most housing, public housing, have some sort of licensure?
Most public housing does not have any licensure. It's unlicensed. Are you saying that your partner is where your project would take place?
Yes.
I am not familiar with what the Class F license in your state means. It's not eligible, but if you would like to follow up directly with us, we could discuss that.
Okay. Thank you.
If you email to innovations@leadingage.org, we'll take a look at that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from
Susan Motes.
Your line is now open.
Hi. We have a project that will serve the low-income housing on our campus, as well as long-term care and our community. Is that ineligible because there are others outside the low-income housing building that will be served?
I think that's okay. If you are serving residents in your low-income housing, and so that you can demonstrate to us that there are they're a significant portion of the population that you're serving.
Okay.
That would be okay.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.
I think that would be fine.
Okay. Super. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from
Katie Knutson.
Your line is now open.
Hi, I'm calling with Loretto Housing, and I just had a question regarding the accounts. We have a Leading Age New York account. How do I become to get on the national account?
Oh, I see. So you're a member of Leading Age New York, but and you're a provider organization?
Yeah.
You should automatically be a member of Leading Age National, but if you wouldn't mind sending an email to innovations@leadingage.org, I'll take a look, because I'm guessing you hit a snag when you tried to log in.
Yeah, it wouldn't let, so like to look at the application, so, okay.
Okay, so send an email to that address, and we'll take a look and try to sort that out.
Yeah. But also just note that there is a PDF of the application on the Innovations Fund site so that you can just quickly see what the questions are in the application.
Okay. Yes, I did see that. So I got that.
Okay.
And then, am I still able to go on? Just one more question regarding like the housing. So we have different programs with different licensures and stuff, but we do have low-income services through the HUD program, stuff like that. So you said if the project is geared towards that program, it's fine, even though we carry other licensures?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from
Gary Hermes. Hi, this is similar to
your line is now open.
This may be similar to an earlier question, but we're trying to address the silver tsunami of baby boomers that are demanding and much in need of affordable housing, and we don't have, there are no federal funds to develop more low-income housing. So we're working in partnership with a local village model to try to keep people in their homes. And the village model would also serve those residents that we do have in affordable housing at a reduced rate at a different kind of membership level. Would that qualify?
So let me make sure I understand your situation. Within your village is affordable housing communities?
No, the village is a whole separate organization. We are for 35 years been providing low-income housing for seniors, but we realize we can't keep pace with the demand, and so we're partnering with the local village model in order to reach those people who are still in their homes but maybe having trouble making keeping up with the maintenance or the utilities. In other words, they could stay in their homes if somebody could provide them with some assistance. And that would be...
I completely understand the need that you're identifying. This grant call, though, is focused on the congregate housing setting.
Right. Okay.
So if you in some way, as part of the project, were serving individuals in the congregate housing setting,
that
would be okay.
We would.
But not if you're just working with the village to serve people out in their freestanding homes, their single
family
homes. Exactly.
Okay, yes. We would definitely serve our residents as well. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
The next question is from...
Rebecca.
Your line is now open.
Hi. I just had a question about how it's got to be really difficult for you guys to go about selecting a grant, given that I imagine you receive dozens of great ideas and needs for residents. But can you just give us more of an idea of how you go about that process? When you do start, filtering through them, is it more of like a different levels? Like, what are the automatic red flags that kind of eliminate some of the grants? And then as you get, wind down to trying to select from a select few, what is it that makes some stand out more than others for you?
Well, I can address some of your questions. So the process that we have for reviewing proposals is we have a selection committee that's made up of some staff, some state association executives, and some members. And we have a very objective reviewing and scoring process for reviewing each application. And it pretty much looks at those primary categories that the questions on the applications are identifying. So, each reviewer goes through the applications and rates them on a scale of those review categories. So every application gets an overall score, and then it's very objective, and then there's some subjective discussion around that as well. So it's hard for me to say what kind of project stands out above the other, because I wouldn't say that there's necessarily any one subject matter or topic or type of intervention that stands out above the other. But what does stand out, I can tell you the applications that rise to the top are the ones that are very clearly written and very detailed. So it's clear to us what you're planning to do, how you're planning to do it, and that you're going to be able to implement it. Also part of that, which is a bit more objective, is that you are proposing an idea that is something innovative, something new or different. And new or different doesn't need to be something that's absolutely never been done before, but it could be something about doing something different in this setting or doing something different in the way you deliver services in the setting or in the partnerships or the type, a particular type of need you're trying to address.
Well, thank you. That does really that helps. And does the scoring get shared to kind of help organizations, as they go and trying to submit next year for a grant?
Unfortunately, we're not able to do that because of the volume of grants that we receive.
Okay. Right. Well, thank you.
I should add, there are certain things that really don't qualify, and we wouldn't want to see people waste their time for things, applying for things like capital campaigns or scholarships for individual residents. Those are not what we're looking for here. The point of the Innovations Fund is to catalyze innovation that can then be replicated by other leading age members.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right. And so, you know, our goal is to help ideas bubble to the top that we can help advance the field as a whole.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I'll remind everyone on the line that you can press *2 to enter the question queue.
The next question is from
Grant Yarbrough.
Your line is now open.
Hi, I'm a Senior Connections in Atlanta. My question is, so congregate meal sites, does that include things like NORC communities, naturally occurring retirement communities? Would those qualify? Does it have to be a building where seniors live and get meals?
Well, there's no requirement that they get meals.
Okay.
A congregate housing setting. And, you know, some NORCs are either exclusively or contain affordable housing properties. So that would be fine. You just need to make that connection that you are delivering your intervention or your project in an affordable housing setting.
Okay.
Serving residents of an affordable housing setting.
So can you go over again what you mean by an affordable housing setting? Is that a planned community, or is that just an area where people live in their own homes?
Congregate affordable housing setting would be a building that serves low-income seniors. So it would be an apartment building that serves low-income seniors. So we're not looking at people living in their own single-family homes.
Okay. Alright, thank you.
The next question is from
Eleanor Davis.
Your line is now open.
Hi, we submitted an application last year that wasn't funded, and I'm wondering if we can resubmit essentially the same idea in the application.
You can certainly resubmit your idea. I mean, you know, granted there were plenty of good ideas that were submitted last year. Unfortunately, we just didn't have the funds to select all of them. So you could certainly resubmit it, but I would, you know, take another look at your application by this. Is it very clear and concise? Does it make very understandable what you're trying to do, and are you making a compelling argument?
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
The next question is from
Fernita Tyson.
Your line is now open.
Hi. I was curious if you will consider planning projects, or do your ideas need to be actually in the implementation phase or service delivery phase?
You have stumbled on a question that we can't immediately answer. And so if you wouldn't mind emailing it to innovations@leadingage.org, we will not only answer you, but we'll post it on the webpage, leadingage.org/innovation, so everybody can see the response to that.
All right. No problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from
Marion Chambers.
Your line is now open.
Yes, my question specifically is about, I'm Marion Chambers. I work with Mount Lacana Manor, and we're located in Uniontown, Pennsylvania. And Uniontown, Pennsylvania, demographically has the second highest concentration of low and moderate income people in the state of Pennsylvania. And according to Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, a study they completed, we also have the most significant health risks of anywhere in Pennsylvania, second only to inner city Philadelphia. So we have a huge aging population. We have a very large population who lives in subsidized senior citizen housing. I'm looking at the amount of money that you do have, the $25,000 each in terms of awards. The project that I'm just considering, and I want to know if this would be something that you consider not just eligible but fundable, is if we were to utilize this maybe in the form of matching money for us to, like, purchase a van, but as part of an overall innovative program to go into housing where we have senior citizens and bring them in for some of our activities and rehabilitation outpatient therapy. Would that be something that would be fundable? And I want to stress the income demographics of our area. According to the 2010 census, I believe the median household income nationwide is about $52,000. Our service area in Uniontown is less than $27,000.
So let me just address your questions. I can't specifically tell you whether your project has the merit to get funded, but just in terms of what you're asking about, yes, you can include the $25,000 with in a larger project. So it could be matched by other grant funds, in-kind funds. But I think in terms of your other question as to what you would specifically be asking to use the money for, you would just need, what we really need to see is what is the overall project and the components of the project.
Okay.
But it is certainly acceptable to use these grant funds in combination with other funds, other funding methods.
Okay.
Funding sources, sorry.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from
Anne Camiri.
Your line is now open.
Hi, I'm calling because we're contemplating a project that would encompass three separate HUD 202 facilities that are all part of the same organization, and possibly also residents of other facilities on our campus. And I'm just wondering, in terms of structuring the description of the project, is it most appropriate to have one of those facilities be the lead or applicant organization, or could we use our foundation, which does the fundraising, as the applicant to coordinate a project that serves several facilities?
It's perfectly fine to include the multiple properties in your application. I think that the question is getting to, like, who can be the formal applicant.
Right, and this is Lauren, and I think that a provider member, meaning one of your three sites, would have to be the applicant.
Okay.
I think it's worth noting in the application that more than one site will be participating,
right,
and those residents will all be benefiting.
Right.
Okay.
Right. It's fine for one site to be the applicant, but you to be serving a broader set of communities.
Right. So the project could be implemented at multiple sites.
Yeah, definitely. That would be perfectly fine.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from
Kelly Beckler.
Your line is now open.
Hi there. Will you be offering this grant in 2014 again, and will the deadline be around July next year?
Well, we will be offering it in 2014, and probably the deadline, the timing will be somewhat similar. What we don't know about next year is what the focus of the grant, the call, will be next year.
Oh, okay. So it could change as far as being a licensed
It could change. It could be focused on either a different type of need or a different type of setting or, unfortunately, that's a decision that's made by
our board of directors annually.
Okay. So we won't know that until next spring,
Grandcon.
Yeah.
Okay, and we are a CCRC, and we are independent living, I guess, would not be considered low income. I'm not sure what the cutoff for that is, but we do some different services and some senior living agency or centers here in town in our community.
Uh-huh.
So if we were wanting to do a program with one of them, then we could apply?
Yes, certainly.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it would need to be residential, not like a senior center.
Right.
Right. I thought you said living.
Yes. Yeah. Their communities. Yes. Okay.
You should certainly partner with other lower income senior housing communities. And, you know, and we have not specifically defined low income because,
okay,
you know, that, definition can kind of vary, but we're interested in a lower income population.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much.
The next question is from
Ada.
Your line is now open.
Hi, this is a occupational therapist. Actually, I think the question was already answered, but I just want to make sure when you were talking about congregate housing, I am my focus was on an assisted living facility that serves the low income patients. Is that okay?
I assume, you know, this can vary from state to state, but I assume in your property, in your state, your assisted living is a licensed setting.
Absolutely.
We are license settings are not eligible, and we're focusing on those independent congregate
houses. Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
The next question is from
Daniel Snyder.
Your line is now open.
Will other matching fund sources help in the scoring of our project?
Not necessarily. I mean, if you are proposed, it would help in the sense that we would see that you have, if you are proposing a larger project, it would help for us to be able to see that you have other sources of funding to make that project whole and to get it implemented. But in comparison to a project that may not need other sources of funding, it would not necessarily make you stronger.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Sure.
The next question is from
Francis Grabowski.
Your line is now open.
Yes, hi. My question is on what the grant would fund, or I may better said, what it will not fund. And if you're proposing a new program or project, will the grant allow or help to cover capital expenses associated with a project? Like, for instance, the young lady that was talking about wanting to purchase a van that would be traveling to multiple sites. Or would it cover salary expenses at all? Or is that type of an expense excluded and not funded?
Salaries are definitely allowable, as are expenses for equipment that you might need to implement the project.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Sure.
The next question is from
Sandra Howard.
Your line is now open.
We are a community center on the campus of affordable housing. We all belong to the same member organization. Is it okay if we apply for the grant and primarily our focus will be the residents of the housing, but also some of the community will be served?
Yeah, that's fine. As long as you have a primary focus on the housing residents, it's fine to also incorporate community residents.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, before we take the next question, I'll remind everyone that if you would like to get into the question queue, please press star 2. We are nearing the end of the questions we have in the queue right now, so I would encourage people, if they think they want to ask, to get in shortly.
The next question is from
Alyssa Klaus.
Your line is now open.
Hi, I work for an organization that has 2 wholly owned subsidiaries with their own nonprofit status. I'm curious if both subsidiaries could apply for an innovations grant.
Are they members of Leading Age currently?
Yes.
If they're provider members of Leading Age, then they most certainly can apply. And the first indicator of that will be whether they're able to log in to the site.
Okay. Probably our parent organization is the member. I'm with Ohio Presbyterian Retirement Services. And so we have a campus wholly owned subsidiary, and then we also have home care. So our home care works with HUD Housing, and I can think of a program that would be appropriate. But we also have a HUD Housing apartment building on one of our campuses. So I was just curious if both the home care and the campus could apply since they have different 501c3 statuses.
Right. Yeah. If you could
email us, again, at innovations@leadingage.org with the name of the home care agency and the name of the HUD housing. The way our structure works is each individual site is an individual member, even though their OPRS is what we call a multi-site organization, is clearly affiliated. We would just need to let you know which one is the dues payer or both that could do the actual application.
Yeah. As long as, and so if both of them are members, then yes, both of them can apply.
Thank you.
Sure.
The next question is from
Katie Knutson.
Your line is now open.
Hi, my question is in regards to the applicant. You said the applicant has to be the actual provider. Is that the person who's on the account for Leading Age?
By provider, we mean an organization. So anybody who works for an organization and is sort of linked in our database as such can be the individual submitting the application. But it's an organizational membership. Does that make sense?
Well, okay, like say we have an account under someone's name, we continue that account, and the applicant is a different name. Does that, as long as they're obviously working for that organization?
When we say the applicant, we're thinking of the organization.
Okay.
Anyone within that organization can be the contact for or the submitter of the application.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Sure.
The next question is from
Lane Sutton from Self-Help Community Services.
Your line is now open.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering when the winners would be announced because that would affect our timeline for the project.
Yeah, the winners will be announced formally be announced at the Leading Age meeting in Dallas in October, but the winners will be notified in early October.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from
Rachel Jacobson and Brenda Carney.
Your line is now open.
Hi, this is Brenda Carney from Hannon Foundation. And my question was, it's an independent living facility that it serves low-income seniors, but it also is classified as assisted living, not by license, but by the fact that we are coupling with the Area Agency on Aging to provide Medicaid waivers in that building. Would that be a qualifying place to apply?
Yes, that sounds fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
The next question is from
Judy.
Your line is now open.
Yes, I wondered if there's a deadline on expending the funds if you receive them?
It's a year-long grant period.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
The next question is from
Heather Lewin.
Your line is now open.
Hi. I just wanted to further clarify who we can serve under the eligibility because our project would serve some in the congregate housing, which I understand you're saying, but we also wanted to go out just to low-income areas of the city and serve seniors there. So that portion would not qualify. Is that correct?
I think that it would be an okay project to submit because you are serving people in the congregate housing setting.
Okay, and so we could include also, because I heard you say no freestanding homes, and some of it would be for that. If that makes sense.
No freestanding homes exclusively.
Okay, thank you. Great. Okay, thanks so much.
Okay, so I think, I see one more question. Just came in under the wire. Hang on.
The next question is from
Kathy Santa Coloma.
Your line is now open.
Yes, hi. I had a question about the eligibility of something that we were considering doing for the grant, and that was looking at the low-income senior housing in a nearby city. We were thinking about going there to offer classes on computers so that people, with all of the trend going towards in-home care and telemedicine and such, and people that might normally not have access to such equipment or the wherewithal how to use it, would that be something that was fundable since it's not on our campus, but it would be for instance, we have home care, adult day, skilled nursing, independent and assisted living, but this would be a direct outreach to the community to help them understand how to use technology when the time comes for them to maybe need it in their homes.
I'm not sure I understood you clearly, but if your outreach is to affordable congregate housing settings, and that's the you're working with the resident population there, that would be fine.
Okay, and that is it exactly. It's low-income housing in a nearby city where our campuses are, but just to familiarize people with what's coming down the pike in terms of telemedicine and know, so that when the time comes for them to need or possibly get that equipment, they'll know how to use it, you know.
Yeah, that would be fine.
All right, great, thank you.
I would, for those of you who are still on the phone, and we'll clarify this online for people who may have gotten off already, with respect to these questions of, you know, if you can also serve people in living in the community outside of the congregate housing setting, I think that is fine, but we want to see that there is some sort of purposeful connection to the housing, the congregate housing property. So in some regards, you know, you're not just randomly identifying people in there, but you're making a purposeful partnership or connection with the housing property itself and then serving the residents there.
The next question is from
Katie Knutson.
Your line is now open.
Again, you might have addressed this already, but to say if the organization does have the assisted living, enriched living, skilled nursing, but also is a provider for or has HUD housing. If you're targeting that area of residency, it's also fine to incorporate the other, like you said, really you want this whole project to advance through all different organizations. And so, I mean, can you take that same aspect and connect it to your other programs with targeting, though, the low-income HUD housing?
Yes, it would be fine to incorporate other programs, but we do want to see that you have a focus on the a low-income congregate setting.
Okay, well, just because, like, with the assisted living, you have the Medicaid programs, but it's a license, under a license, but that type of program, I think, would benefit similar to, like, a low-income housing without a licensure.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from
Judith Flober.
Your line is now open.
Hi, you've answered a lot of questions about appropriate applicants, and I apologize, but it seems like every one of us has a slightly different situation. We are a social service agency that belongs to an umbrella CCRC, which is a member. However, on campus, we don't provide low-income housing. What we're proposing to do is bring some social services into another member in the community that is a congregate housing. They have several congregate housing sites that would apply, that would be eligible, I think. They, too, are a member of Leading Age. So my question is, who would be the most appropriate lead on this? We're providing services, but we're not really acting as a housing provider in doing so.
And that's fine. The applicant does not have to be the housing provider. It's really just the activity that we're looking for, not necessarily the applicant. So I think in your case, it sounds like you're talking about a partnership, and I think either one of you could be the applicant. And I don't think... You know, it's not going to hurt you. There's not necessarily one of you that would be a stronger applicant. It's more going to be about what you propose.
You mentioned at the beginning of the call that the member, the lead member, has to play a significant role in the project. And would the fact that it was on their site and involving their residents and using their service coordinators, et cetera, would that
constitute a significant role. It's basically we were going in and providing programming and social services.
You know, not knowing the specifics, it sounds to me like you both would be having a significant role in that.
Yeah.
You would be providing services. You would be working with their residents and their service coordinator to be able to implement that and coordinate that. So.
So it would work either way.
Yep. I think so.
Thank you.
Okay, I see no other questions in our queue right now, so I'll remind everyone if you would like to ask to please press star 2 on your phone to let us know. All right, another one came in. Excellent, hang on.
The next question is from
Faye Beal.
Your line is now open.
No question, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, no question?
No question, I'm sorry.
No problem.
The next question is from, your line is now open.
Hi.
Hello, do you have a question?
Yes. Sorry, I got this echo when I was trying to put it down with star 2. Low income, you didn't quite give a definition of what you meant by low income. So would it have to be a Medicaid community? Can you tell me more about what low income means in this sense?
We purposely didn't define low income. So, but what we are talking about is we're looking, since we are targeted on affordable housing settings, you know, we're generally looking at that population, that low and moderate income population that would live in subsidized housing properties. You know, I think that the official definition for eligibility for a lot of HUD properties is about 80% of the area median income. We're not asking you to prove that or show that, but, you know, since we know that we're looking at engagement in these kinds of communities, if you're working with that kind of property, we know you're going to be serving the kind of population that we're looking for.
Very good.
So, not everybody in those properties is Medicaid eligible. So, you know, it doesn't have to be that strict of a definition.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Any more questions? Again, please press star 2 to indicate if you'd like to ask. I'll take this moment to remind everyone that if you have questions after the call, you can email them to innovations@leadingage.org. And that we will be posting answers to the questions we weren't able to answer here at www.leadingage.org/innovations. And seeing no more questions, we'll remind everyone that the application deadline is July 19th, and we look forward to receiving them. Thank you and have a great day.
Thank you, everyone.